Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So when the weather forecast for the New York metro area on Monday included a severe thunderstorm warning, wind gusts of up to 60 miles per hour, large hail, and even an isolated tornado possible, northern New Jersey and the lower Hudson Valley too, you might have been worried we'd get the sort of conditions that have so overwhelmed this area from time to time in recent years. There was a collective sigh of relief when a good chunk of the region was spared. We figured this might be a good chance to demystify the science of weather forecasting a bit, as we've done on the show a couple of times before, and it's also a good time to check in on how well the city, at least, is communicating about extreme weather. Rewinding, back in September, Hurricane Ida, you'll remember, made clear the need for better messaging around severe weather conditions when many in New York City suddenly met quickly rising floodwaters. Those emergency declarations should have arrived far sooner in that case. There's a really short piece on the website Curbed that we'll link to where you can read about that in greater detail. But right now, let's hear from John Homnick, meteorologist and founder of New York Metro Weather. If that name sounds familiar, it's probably because you've seen New York Metro Weather's incredible Twitter feed. Every day it provides a rating out of 10 of the day's weather along with a vibe. So Wednesday's weather rating today is 9 out of 10. Still a bit of a breeze, as it describes it, but the sun is shining and the temperature is heading into the lower 70s this afternoon. The vibes remain pretty dang good, unquote. Hey, John, welcome back to WNYC. It's good to have you on this 9 out of 10 day.
Oh, Brian, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And listeners, this is a quick 10-minute segment, but what if you always wanted to ask a meteorologist? How can John Homnick, one of the founders of New York Metro Weather, help you understand how his team or anyone else predicts the weather? Your chance to ask a meteorologist at 212-433-WNYC if you get in quickly, 212-433-9692, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. So what happened on Monday?
You know, Monday was a classic day where I think the focus on communication and improving how we kind of get the point across when it comes to the weather is going to be important moving forward. So the risk obviously existed for severe thunderstorms throughout the day. But as I'm sure you know, severe thunderstorms are often quite localized. They are sometimes, you know, a mile or two across, maybe a little more than that, depending on the size of the storm itself. Here in New York, we often get lines of storms. They come through from west to east. But in this case, this was just a couple of individual cells that were moving through from west to east. So, you know, some areas got heavy rain, some areas got winds. There was damage in parts of upstate New York and eastern Pennsylvania. But other areas, such as a large majority of the New York City metro, were able to avoid the severe thunderstorms themselves. There was one storm that moved, I think it was in Queens and then out into Nassau County. But other than that, we were able to avoid it. And that's kind of just the nature of severe thunderstorms. You know, thunderstorm forecasting is one of the most complex things there is to do in meteorology. And so there is a major focus in the meteorology industry as a whole in kind of pinning down those warnings and, you know, being better at communicating them to the public.
One thing I see about New York Metro Weather is that you rarely, if ever, at least of late, say that there's a 30% chance of rain, put it in those rounded percentage terms. Instead, you'll say there's possible rain all day or all afternoon. Is that a deliberate choice to avoid the percentages?
It is. I think we've found that when it comes to communicating the weather, people want something that's digestible. And I think if you say 30% here and 50% there, it just creates more confusion. You know, I think for someone that's heading out for their commute to work every day, what they want to be able to read is, okay, you know, there's a chance of showers this afternoon. We don't know that there's going to be showers everywhere, but, you know, there is a chance that there's going to be a shower. We don't expect any severe weather or hazardous weather, but it might rain. And so people can prepare accordingly. I think the percentages start to get a little confusing. And until we can pin down how we can, you know, best use the numbers, sometimes it's just a little better to be a little bit more direct.
But isn't it better to know that there's a 30% chance of rain or a 70% chance of rain than to just say there's a chance of rain all day?
Well, I think it comes down to the descriptions of it, right? So I don't think that we just say there's a chance of rain all day. I think we get a little bit more specific than that. The percentages get confusing because, you know, and it's funny, we have a couple of emails about this just from a couple of weeks ago. It's the question is, does it mean 30% chance of rain where I am? Or does it mean 30% chance of rain for this hour in this location? And so it's just confusing and people kind of don't understand. So we have different terms, you know, we'll use, there's been a lot of studies done in terms of different words to use for severity. So slight, moderate, enhanced, high, you know, how do people receive those words? So we've been using more words and grammar to kind of get the point across as opposed to percentages.
Yeah, adjectives instead of numbers. So the hook for this segment is the severe weather warnings many in the region got on Monday, and then for the most part, it never happened. And I'm curious what pitfalls you think cities and other localities should avoid when they're sending out communications about severe weather, because it's important that people trust those communications when they do come, right?
Absolutely. And here's one of the major things. Right now, when severe thunderstorm warnings are issued, the folks at the National Weather Service, they do an amazing job of getting these warnings out to people, especially, you know, tornado warnings when, you know, you get the notification on your phone. But the nature of these storms, as I mentioned earlier, is a lot of them are so small and they move erratically and they're kind of hit or miss. So even our best weather models, you know, they have a difficult time modeling where these storms are going to go. One of the major focuses is how can we narrow down the warning areas? So if you get a tornado warning right now, sometimes that warning includes areas that are at a, you know, pretty wide region that are probably not going to be impacted by the tornado. The tornado itself might be a quarter mile wide, maybe even less than that. How do we get better at narrowing down the area that we push that warning out to? And so that's a major focus of communication and meteorology moving forward. From our perspective, as a, you know, kind of like a public entity that communicates the weather, we have the ability to say that, right? So the warning gets issued and we are on Twitter or live streaming and we can say, here's where the warning is, but these are the towns that are at actual risk, and we can point to it on a map. And I think it's that those secondary sources that we can use to make the weather a little bit more digestible for people that are becoming really important moving forward.
Question for you from Twitter. Listener asks, why is it called meteorology, not weatherology?
That's a great question.
Right. It doesn't have anything to do with meteors, does it?
Yeah, I don't even really have the answer to it. You know, it's funny. one of the jokes when I was in college is someone came up to me. I was at a coffee shop and they, you know, I said, oh, I'm a meteorologist. And the response was, oh, so you're the guy I'll turn to whenever I want to know when the next meteor shower is. And I, you know, I just laughed because I don't, you know, there's not really much you could say. But yeah, meteorology is the study of the atmosphere and the weather and meteorology as it relates.
Martha in Ridgewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Martha.
Hi. My question has to do with Doppler radar online. I'm just wondering how accurate it is when planning your day and seeing where and when rain is going to hit. And I'll take my response off air.
Thank you for asking a meteorologist.
Sure. Hi, Martha. Thank you for the question. Doppler radar is extremely accurate, especially if you're using the one available on the National Weather Service website. And the one thing is, obviously, you're not going to see into the future. So you're just seeing what's up until now. So you can loop that and kind of make your own conclusions from there. But it's quite accurate. And the National Weather Service page hosts a Doppler radar that updates every couple of minutes. So you can look at your location on a map and see where the showers and storms are.
Lewis in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC to ask a meteorologist. Hi, Lewis.
Hi, Brian. Okay, so I've always wondered that sometimes when you want to plan a trip in advance, you can go into the Weather Channel and see like the forecast for like 30 days in advance. So I'm wondering, how is it that you guys can see so far in advance, like, you know, a month in advance? You know, they'll say that it's going to be cloudy or sunny. Is there any, how do you guys do it?
I'm going to provide a very disappointing answer to this. The data that you're getting there is just an algorithm, typically from a couple of weather models, and it's usually very inaccurate. We do quite a bit of seasonal and long range forecasting on a consulting basis as well, And I can tell you personally that it is almost impossible to predict the exact weather 30 or 40 days in advance at any given location. So, you know, while you might get a general idea as to what the average temperature is and what the maybe the cloud cover might be on average, it's really just sort of, you know, a shot in the dark when it comes to the actual observed weather conditions. There are 30 or 40 different weather models that we use on a daily basis. And those long range forecasts can vary so dramatically depending on which model you use. So I would say take it with a very serious grain of salt.
Lisa in Brooklyn wants to ask a meteorologist what 30% chance of rain really means, right, Lisa? Oh, Lisa went away. All right. I used to make a joke that why would they ever say 50% chance of rain? Why don't they just say we don't know? Ha ha ha. But really, it's that there's the history tells us that half the time under those conditions it will rain, half the time it won't, right?
That's exactly right. And you mentioned we don't know. That's a really big focus of for us is it's okay to say that we don't know for sure. When it comes to communicating the weather, people, and I would say especially in New York, they just want to know what the deal is. Yeah. And so if we're going to sit there and try to pretend like we know for sure, that's even worse. You know, what all we right. take pride in is we go and say, hey, listen, we're not 100% certain, but these are the possibilities.
Last question. Your forecast for today, your description for today, I should say, still a bit of a breeze, but the sun is shining and the temperature is heading into the lower 70s this afternoon. The vibes remain pretty dang good. So you rated a 9 out of 10. What would a 10 be?
You know, I always envision a 10 as being a day when you walk outside and you don't have to worry about the weather at all. You don't even need to bring a light jacket. So it's we're talking probably mid to upper 70s, a very light breeze, low humidity, and no chance of rain.
John
today was pretty close.
Homnick, meteorologist and co-founder of New York Metro Weather, which you should absolutely find on Twitter. Have a 9 out of 10 day, John. Thanks.
Thank you, Brian.